or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Rights, Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday afternoon service of December 24th, 1989.
And my mother and dad were there, and Glenn's mother was there, and maybe his dad, and they were all worried. Oh, what's Irma up in the room for? Oh, she doesn't feel well. Well, that was a bunch of baloney. I felt fine, but I just didn't want to go down there because it frightened me when, and they were throwing up demons in paper plates. And I was so proud. That was too much for me. That was just too much. I couldn't take it. but yet I knew I had deliverance. Then we went. I needed it, but I was afraid to go to the meetings. But the last day he was going to have questions and answers, and I stood outside the door and I watched. And I finally saw a girl with a shorthand pad, and what I termed in those days looked like she had some sense. And I went in and sat beside her, and she was. She must have been like an angel because she bolstered me up so I could sit in there. See, I had so many demons, but I didn't know I had so many demons. I thought I was pretty holy. And I sat there with her, and they asked all kinds of questions. And he told some gory details of a deliverance. And, of course, there wasn't anybody hardly in there understood much about it, and they were all asking questions. Well, finally it was over. Then the convention was over, and for some way, I don't know how, we got down in a room, and somebody was going to go after hamburgers, so Glenn and another one of the international directors went to get hamburgers and left his wife and I and several people in that room, and Derek Prince was in there, and he was telling about a woman that had cast 20-some demons out of that afternoon. And this demon had talked to him in Swahili language. And he said to the demon, "You're speaking to me in Swahili language." And he was telling all this, and I was listening, but I was trembling. I was so afraid. You see, the demons fear and tremble in you, and it's not the real you. But I didn't know that, so I was just trembling, and he was telling about this spirit said, "You're going to run into a tree and kill yourself," and he was saying what he said to it, and he and another minister were discussing it, and all of us were sitting there listening, and I'm telling you, it took Glenn long, very, very long to go get hamburgers. I want to be by my husband when there's trouble around, and he is big and protects me. And I have enough sense to know that I am the weaker vessel. Well, anyway, we got through that. But then I wanted deliverance. And I would tell Glenn that he had demons, and he'd say he didn't. And by the time I got through arguing with him, I'd have more demons. And I would want him to go for prayer, but with me. I want him to be there too, and he didn't want to. So we get in Sweden, and with the international airlift for gospel, and I was saying to him every day, "Will you ask Derek Prince and his wife to come to our room and pray for me?" And he'd tell me no, but eventually he said okay. So they came in, and they looked at me, and Derek said, "You feel you need deliverance?" I said, "Yes." And I'm not usually a very subdued person. And I was very subdued. And Glenn speaks up and says, "Yes, she's got a list of her demons." So he says to me, "Will you let me see your list?" And I could not get that list out of my purse. I was so afraid. I was so full of fear. How many have ever had that kind of fear? It was terrible. And so they fooled around with me for a few minutes. And I guess I learned a lot from that, because finally Mrs. Prince says, "She doesn't want deliverance. Let's go." So they got up and walked out. Then I said to Glenn, now look what you did, see? I didn't get delivered. It took a long time. It took another 6 months or almost a year. You know, we love to blame everybody else, don't we? But if we'll only get it for ourselves and pray for the ones that needs it, then we'll do a lot more good. Well, anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that. But another thing I think that's a hindrance, how much time we got, is opening up our spirit to anything and everything, to anybody. You don't have to open up your spirit to people that you can just discern that they have something wrong with them. If you do, like he said, if you hug them and touch them and all of that, you may get a transference of spirits. And I used to get them transferred to me real quick because I would be frightened if I saw somebody that was really very badly demonized. I would just get them because of this horrible fear I had. They would come upon me and I could feel them strike me and hit me. So be very careful who you open yourself up to. Now, I know we're all very hungry to learn, aren't we? And we're also very hungry to change for the better. We don't want to get worse. We want to change for the better. But we need to be very, very careful about that. And we also need to be very careful about becoming so religious, thinking that we are totally delivered and we know it all. They brought that up. That's a real work of the devil telling you that. I'm telling you that I believe, this is my own belief now, I don't know if I can back it up by scripture or not, but I can back it up by experience. I treat deliverance a lot like having a baby, a deliverance, a delivery. That's why they call it delivery. There's something in there that has to come out, and it's going to come out with lots of pain and lots of groanings. And I believe, I may be totally off my rocker, that the latter part of our total deliverance is going to be the hardest part of all, because the latter part of your delivery is the hardest part of all. Usually it was with my children. I may be. Now I want to read about opening up our, I want to tell you something else. Well, we were so hungry and we had no church to go to and we didn't know what to do. We used to sit on the couch. We had two couches. We had a wide living room and a den on this end and the living room on this end. And Glenn and I would sit on one on one couch and one on the other, and we would think we were backslid when we left the church. We didn't know what to do. See, I'd been in church since I was 10 years old. My dad was an Assembly of God minister. All I knew was church, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, young people, Sunday night, before church, prayer meetings. And here we didn't have, we had a church we thought was a wonderful church. We'd worked in that so hard, and here they didn't want us, and we didn't know what to do. But you know, the Lord will lead you if you ask him. We get lots of calls from towns all over, and I'm sure you do too. Well, there's just nothing here in this town. Well, make something. You can start playing tapes and inviting a few friends in. If two or three will come in, pretty soon you'll have quite a crowd. And these home prayer groups are wonderful. And if all you do is just listen to tapes, if you want to learn about deliverance, if you want to learn about faith, there's all kinds of tapes. And I praise God for tape recorders. And you can make something. I know that people don't want to go into cold, dead churches, but maybe the Lord would like you to go into one of them sometimes. I've been up to this Baptist church, and I got a lot out of that man's sermon. And furthermore, I had my eyes really, you know, we think Pentecostals are the only ones. That isn't true. There's a lot of people that are saved in every denomination. And he called everybody up around the altar when he finished preaching to pray. Well, you know, only about half the people went up, but it was before we started having meetings here. And Glenn and I and Kevin all went up and knelt at the altar. And we prayed. And when we got up, there was only about two people at the altar, and the whole congregation was sitting there looking at us, wondering who these strangers were in there, and so on and so forth. But I did get a lot out of that man's sermon, because why? He preached the Word of God. And if you go with an open heart and hear the Word of God, you're going to get something. And so anyway, these friends of ours, they were always looking around trying to find some place to go, and so they heard about this minister, and they had gone. I don't think we were home, but they, and so we got home. Oh, we've got the finest man. You, Irma, you won't go anywhere else when you hear this man. He is just wonderful. So Glenn gets a tape recorder and all this paraphernalia, and we go. And so they sang all the courses like we sang, and it was real, felt spiritual, looked spiritual, so nothing wrong with it. The man got up to preach. And he was talking about he had been thrown out of the church for the way he insinuated it was through adultery or something. And he was very upset. And he said, I went to a Christian medium to find out what the Lord wanted me to do. I thought, medium? He said, as I lay on the couch, on her couch, and she began to talk to me, right away, I mean, all the bells was going off inside of me. Hey, this is something wrong with this. And then he said, now, she took me back into my past lives. Now, this is coming up. There is a lot of this channeling and all this stuff coming up, and we need to be very aware of it. May look awfully good, but you see, he was good the first two or three nights that they went, but this was his last night, and he went through this whole thing. He was he was at the crucifixion, he said, and he was out there with the mob, and he was going through all this stuff, what he was doing against Jesus, and then he ran up and placed his hand in the side of Jesus, and the blood touched him, and then the mob got mad at him and threw him over the... You never heard such a rigmarole. Threw him over the fence, and the dogs ate him, and in his next life he was this or that, and he was a pope, and he was a priest, and then one day when... You see, you listen to people, and pretty soon you can pick up and discern where they're coming from. He went into a house of ill repute, and when he came out, they disrobed him, and he went on and on and on. When he finished, I don't let everything go by me. You can let a few things go by you, maybe, but I mean something like that. There was probably all this section would have been full. I put my hand up and asked a question. He said, yes. I said, how can a spirit-filled person like you go to a medium? There's no such thing as a Christian medium. And I said, you're teaching... That's reincarnation. Man, the whole congregation came against me. But I didn't back down a bit. And all the way home, these neighbors of ours was saying, Irma, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. I said, I think I do understand. And they never did back down. But I did not realize at the time, because we had never been taught anything about ultimate reconciliation. Ultimate reconciliation tells you that everybody's going to be saved and there is no hell. If you don't get it in this life, you'll get it in the next life. And you have to believe in reincarnation in order to believe in ultimate reconciliation. And I am sorry today to tell you that those people were so misguided. From then on, they went backwards in the Lord instead of moving on. And her own mother was deep in this ultimate reconciliation. So we have to be careful. I don't say that it's wrong to go to various meetings, because I think if you hear about something and you hear the Spirit of the Lord is moving, it's all right to go there, but test the spirits to see what spirit these people are coming from. Now, their songs were wonderful. This man played a guitar and sang. He was wonderful. Then there was another man came on the scene, and he had the ability and the nerve to actually commit fornication mentally with a girl in the audience. Now, that, a few people picked that up right away. But you see, and it wasn't very long until down he went. You see, the enemy is going to watch us and be very alert to everything. He will not do anything to us really drastic. He doesn't hate us, really, basically. The devil doesn't hate us. He hates Jesus in us. He hates the Holy Ghost. He hates tongues. But we need to be extremely careful and be as wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. Now, in Romans 8, I'm going to tell you, now some people think that deliverance is just going to be forever. It isn't going to be forever. Once the Lord gets us cleaned up, we won't have to keep going through this. But none of us are totally delivered yet. And if you think you are, then you're in, you know, on dangerous ground, I would believe. In Romans 8, and let's start. The whole book, the whole chapter in Romans is good, but let's start about the 18th verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's a word that just scares half of the Christians to death. Because a lot of people came through the earth saying they were manifested sons, and they lived like the devil. And it caused such a reproach that the nice Christians in churches that might have been, believed it, they saw the falls, and so because of that, they think everything connected, if you ever say the manifested sons are coming forth, that it's all heresy. That isn't true. They are coming forth, and the devil or nobody else is going to keep them from coming forth, but they will be purified, totally purified. So when the enemy tries to attack them, he will not have any influence over them. You'll find this in the book of Joel, second chapter of Joel, too. And it's going to be this army of the Lord, the remnant of the Lord. And I want to strive for that position. When Satan comes, he will find nothing in me. Now he can find things in me. He can touch certain things in me. Now, some things he can't touch because they're not in there and there's no sin in there. But I try, and I think we all should try to search our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light on our hearts that the Bible says is desperately wicked. Who can know them? We can't know our hearts. Many things that people have called out of me, I didn't ever realize or think about them being in me. But see, when the man of God discerns something in you, and you start saying, no, I don't have that. I know I don't have that. Or that was all taken care of 2 years ago. I don't have that anymore. And all the time, if the Holy Spirit is really, the gifts of the Spirit are working through you, you know it hasn't been totally taken care of. Maybe somebody told them, like they said, you're all delivered. A lot of people come and tell me, well, I'm all delivered. Well, I just think, poor you. You know, there's no use to fight with them. As Jack Harris, he'll be here probably Tuesday, he says, just follow their tracks and check them out. And, well, let's get back to this. The manifestation of the sons of God, they are going to come forth. And none of us are manifested sons yet. I want to make that very clear in here. But we're all striving to be cleansed and totally purified. At least I am. And since for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, I can truthfully say that I'm a different person than I was when I first heard of deliverance 25 or 30 years ago. I am totally changed in most ways, but I have a few things to take care of yet. And I would like to get it all over with this afternoon. Wouldn't you? Get it all out so we'd be truly manifested sons of God. But the Lord says, I will drive them out little by little. We couldn't handle, right now, if a prophet of God came in here, and they're coming on the scene fast, this Ananias and Sapphira ministry, if they come in here and started calling out everybody that has sins, secret sins, we'd all scatter to the altar on our faces, wouldn't we? And that's happened recently in Paul Cain's meeting down in San Antonio. Someone was telling us that he asked a preacher, or he said, I see a preacher. There's a great big audience. I don't know how many people, over 1,000 people there. He asked, he said, I see somebody in the spirit. He's a curly-haired minister. His wife's wearing a green dress or something. He said, will they stand? Well, they were way in the back, and they stood up. He said, now, you've got a couple sitting beside you. I don't know who you are, but this other couple sitting beside you is some kind of assistance to you. And the man spoke up and said, yes, there are youth directors at our church. He said, yes, I believe that's what the Holy Spirit's telling me. And then he said, now, there's another couple that's connected with you. Now, they're sitting way over here. They're not sitting with you. He said, now, this couple over here, they're undermining you and your church, and they're working underground to try and split the church and get a congregation. What do you think happened to that guy? He hit the floor, crying out to God for mercy. Now, we're gonna find that. We're going to have to encounter that kind of ministry. And are we ready for somebody to read right through us? I wonder if any of us are. And then he went on to call out some other things, some one man that he knew, and he told, and this man's been in adultery, and he knew him. He was a minister sitting on the front seat. He said, now, stand up. I want him to stand up. He said, I know this man. But he said, 1965, I see you standing in front of a mailbox with a letter, and you are looking at it and fumbling with it. You don't know whether to drop it in that mailbox or not. And finally, you dropped it in and drove the car away. He said, that was the beginning of your problems. And that was in 65, and the problem didn't come out till about 3 years ago. So you see, the enemy, you toy with sin, you pet a serpent, he's going to strike you every time, isn't he? So we need to be very careful about that. 22nd verse, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. Do you believe that? Now, the whole creation is the animal world, the plant world, these weeds that entwine. Have you ever, we've got them back in the woods, these long things. What do they call those things, Glenn? They're about as big as your finger and, huh? And they're green vines, and they'll curl right around your leg if you're walking out there.
Saw brambles.
Those things are hideous. Well, those trees that they wrap around, I hear that they will eventually kill the trees. Well, that tree is crying out and groaning to be delivered. And it's up to us. Who's going to deliver creation? The sons of God's going to deliver creation. We know that the whole creation's groaning, travailing in pain. It's painful when the enemy is always coming against you, isn't it? You have to keep crying out to the Lord, Jesus, help me. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, who groan within ourselves. Have you ever just noticed when you're praying, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will be groaning inside of you, and you don't even know why it's groaning, He's groaning, it may be for something in you, or somebody that he wants you to pray for and to intercede for. And, you know, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray perfectly, doesn't he? We don't always know. There's calls that come here that I have no idea how to pray for. I just have to pray in the Spirit. It says, groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, that's what we're waiting for, is our total body. Our spirit has been redeemed, hasn't it? Through Jesus. He died on the cross that we might be, he's wanting our whole body, he's wanting to bring us into the redemption of our body, where there's no more sickness, there's no more hate, there's no more envy, there's no more strife, there's no more confusion. We're going to be filled with the glory of the Lord, aren't we? And it says the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Sometimes I think it's far, far away, and then other times I think it's could be right away. I was in an office the other day and picked up the Wall Street Journal. I think it was the Tuesday's edition or Wednesday's, and it was talking about the millennium that was coming in the year 2000. And they were talking about all the ministers that are saying what's going to happen, and all the gurus and the man over here in Little Rock that said the rapture was going to happen. And they had column after column in there, a big long write-up. I would like to have a copy of that. And we are looking for that. Aren't we looking for the millennium? Aren't we looking for the kingdom? We're crying out inside. The Holy Spirit is groaning and travailing inside. And I was going to tell you a funny little experience that we had last year. Now, we have this little dog that's spoiled. We didn't buy him. He belongs down the road to that place that's now bankrupt, the boat arena. But he always was coming up here all the time. He wouldn't stay home. They built a fence, he dug out the next day, and he was back up here. He likes up here where all the excitement is, especially in the summertime, where there's a lot of youth and children here, and he just likes people. And when we, last winter, we had a minister come, and he was really so full of fear because he had been so sick. Now, he worked in the mental hospital, and he had, didn't he dive into something, Glenn, in a contaminated river or something, and he got something anyway, and he was in the hospital for weeks on end, and very, very bad, and he was very fearful, became very fearful that he was going to die, and that he was fearful because he couldn't work to support his family, and his wife had to go to work, and so he came up for prayer, and we were all up in the apartment praying. Now, this dog would never go up those spiral steps in the office. We had to carry him up. He'd cry to go up there when we'd go up there, and we'd bring him in. And then when we went to go down, he'd just stand there, and he was too scared to walk down because he might come up two steps, and then he'd see his shadow or something, and he'd just go back. So we were praying for this man, and all of a sudden, this evil spirit of fear. I'm telling you, fear is tormenting, but it's an evil spirit. And this evil spirit of fear suddenly came out of that man, and it came out screaming a blood-curdling scream. Well, Chaz, the dog, jumped about this high, straight up in the air. From that day on, he barked. And from that day on, he's not afraid. He goes up and down those stairs. See, the whole creation are dogs and cats and animals waiting. Aren't they waiting? Do you believe that? Are you with me or am I off the rocker? There are everything in this creation Satan has touched and caused it to come to degradation. But we are going to be able, we're going to have that kind of power and authority. Now, what would you think? I know Catherine Kuhlman used to preach this, and I believe it, and so did, what's his name, the elderly man, Glenn, that used to preach it at Illinois camp meeting, Dr. Price used to say that in the last days that laymen would be so full of the Holy Spirit that they would walk in a hospital and the people without limbs or arms cut off would suddenly grow and they'd all walk out of the hospital and every one of them would be healed. Wouldn't you love to be in a meeting with that kind of power and authority?
There's something they just found with the scientific world. They have found a horror that exists where a limb has been taken away, but they can see it on the screen, even though it's been cut off.
Well, I've heard about people, when they bury the leg they cut off or something, if they drive a nail through the lid or something and it goes into the leg, he'll get all kinds of terrible pain. The person will, even though the leg is cut off. Well, I'm not into all that. I don't understand that doctors would. But I do understand divine health and divine healing. And when we are totally redeemed, we're going to have divine health. Now, won't that be wonderful? That will be really wonderful. Because I'm telling you, in order to stay in the deliverance ministry, we need good, healthy, strong bodies. And because of that, we need to come into this realm of total divine health. Now, I'm not in total divine health. I don't want you to think that because I'm not. But I want to be. I'm seeking the Lord. And I nursed this. Remember when I was walking around crippled all the time, I fell down those spiral stairs? I was walking around like this. I went to a meeting where they're having a healing service. I am grateful for jumping in if the glory of the Lord is there and the healing power is there. Now, if you wait to be the very last person to get in the healing line this week, if we have one, the anointing is not as strong then as it is when they first make the first call. Well, Pat Hayes was, I don't know if you've ever seen her on TV, but she was over in Little Rock and I was there, and she made the first call for anybody that had anything that was, that couldn't be, that doctors couldn't heal, like arthritis or cancer or something. She wanted everybody that had been told that they could do no more for them to come down. quite a few people went down. In the second call, she said, anybody that has pain, I want you to come down. Well, both Fern Outlaw and I went down. We were sitting side by side, and several people went down. There was a whole big long row clear across that big church. And as she came by, I just felt the heat and the power of the Holy Ghost. She just barely touched me, but I felt the power of God go through. And ever since then, my leg has been much, much better. And I praise the Lord for that. I have other things wrong with me that I'm seeking healing, but I haven't received it yet. But I'm believing. It doesn't make me an unbeliever. A lot of people do not believe in healing anymore because they just say, well, they just tell you you're healed. And you're not really. It might be for two or three days you're healed, and then you're not healed anymore. Well, that is a spirit of unbelief. Now, I had my lesson with that at Evangelistic Temple in Houston when a girl fell down under my table screaming. And the main spirit in her was a spirit of unbelief. And it said, it talked out of her. We were with Brother Prince, but he had gone out the back door, and he always helped us, told us how to pray and everything when we was with him and fast and so on, when we was going to have a deliverance meeting. But he had gone out the back door, and so this girl fell down under my table, and I won't go into it, but anyway, the spirit said, you don't know my name, went on and on, you know, and I didn't know its name, and there was another minister's wife there praying with me, and everybody had left the church, but just a few. And we battled that thing quite a while. And finally, we just all began to speak in tongues. Another man came and helped. In the meantime, a preacher, the assistant pastor, came in with a policeman. And she was flouncing around on the floor just before that. But she just got real quiet. And they walked right by. And I thought, oh, dear, what's going to happen now? And the policeman said, can I help? And the assistant pastor said, no. I just believe she's fainted, and they've got it under control. Fainted, nothing. The devil just protected that church, I guess, because the police might have been called in. Well, anyway, it finally said, my name is Unbelief. I kill the Christians. I kill more Christians. I won't let them believe they're healed. I kill more Christians than death gets. I thought, oh, you arrogant spirit. That made me angry. And we cast it out. And I asked her later, it would say, I've been here since she's 5 years old and I'm not coming out. Oh, it argued with us for about, I think, about an hour. And it said quite a bit of everything. And so I asked her, what happened to you when you were 5 years old? How many know that some evil spirits come into you when you're about 5 years old? 4 and 5 years old. But this spirit had come in, and I said, what happened at five? And she said, well, there was a mad dog out coming in our yard, and my mother suddenly saw it. She grabbed my brother and I and just threw us in the house and told us to stay in there, and she got a gun and shot the dog. And that fear came into her, and that unbelief came in. See, one helps the other. They're in cahoots. They're cronies. You know, one will get in. You might not think you're doing too much bad, but one will come in, and then have you ever been a little depressed? And you start saying, oh, I'm so depressed, and pretty soon discouragement will come. They'll say, come on, we're going to get her now. And a whole bunch of them will come in until pretty soon you've got a big crew in there warring against you. And that's what happened with this fear. Fear brought in unbelief, and I don't remember what all. We had a lot of things that we'd cast out of her. But we need to believe the Lord and believe the Bible, don't we? And we need to pray against our unbelief. And ask the Lord to, that's sin when we don't believe that God can heal. Well, that is sin. It truly is sin. And then that opens up to many other things. But I don't know, do you want to have any kind of deliverance? Or does anybody have any questions? I'm going to be through and somebody else can decide what we're going to do next. Have you learned anything today? And the main thing, I believe, in order to get evil spirits out, if you know what it is to get on your knees and truly repent. See, when that blood, the Holy Spirit begins to apply the blood on that nest, the enemy doesn't even want to stay there. He wants to leave. He's embarrassed. He's upset. The blood of Jesus You just talk about the blood of Jesus a little while, and a demonized person will probably get up and run out, or if they're yielding to the enemy in that strong a fashion. And I believe that we need to do a lot more repenting. Now, in the olden days, back in the early 30s, there was a lot of repentance done. And I know now that in my dad's church, there used to be a lot of deliverance accomplished around the altar or in what they call cottage prayer meetings, because people would pound the floor and scream and yell, but they never called it casting out evil spirits. They called it praying them through. And people would, I remember that they used to say, well, he's down in the dumps today. We've got to pray him through. And they'd pray and pray and pray, maybe till midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning, but the guy would get happy again. So I am truly one, and my choice saying is deliverance is not out of style. Gene, why don't you take over now? I think we got about 15 minutes
till then. Praise God. Oh, I thought that was real good. I thank you, Earlene. I thank you, Glenn. I thank you, Irma, for contributing to this lesson. There's a lot of wisdom in what you just heard. And I recommend you apply that to your life as you go down the road of deliverance. Now let's have some deliverance, casting out of evil spirits. Honey, would you give me some water? I've got some spirits here that we want to go through. We've got about 15, 20 minutes before 5 o'clock. Okay, why don't all of you stand up and stretch, and we'll get ready to have some deliverance here. I've got some lists. I'll go through these fairly rapidly. As Irma said, the key to deliverance is repentance. When you repent, then this gives me a right to cast out your demons. Okay, I'm going to take you through just a general prayer. And I'm going to take a few minutes and let you just go before God silently. My throat is a little bit dry. Excuse me. Thank you, Earlene. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for having any deliverance miss, any battle miss. Any miss at all about deliverance or the battle
or the Bible.
If I'm a woman, Lord,
help me to see
how I should conduct myself and not get into trouble. If I'm a man, Lord,
help me to take care
of my women
that you have entrusted to me,
wives,
daughters,
mothers,
or any related sisters,
in Jesus' name.
Help me, Lord,
to have faith in deliverance
and to believe that I have authority over demons.
Forgive me, Lord,
where I have laid hands on others
that has stirred up the demons,
are called transference of spirits.
Forgive me, Lord,
for minimizing deliverance,
for considering it as a parlor game,
for having token deliverance in my church.
Are my meetings.
Forgive me, Lord,
for having cursed objects
on my person,
in my car,
or in my house.
Show me those, Lord,
that I might get rid of them.
Lord, I forgive
the fallen deliverance ministers
who used to fellowship with me
and who have gone astray.
Forgive them, Lord. and release them from their sins.
And release them from their sins.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To understand true deliverance.
To understand true deliverance.
Help me, Father.
Help me, Father.
To agree with my husband.
And with my wife.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To have a balance.
In deliverance.
That we might set the captives free.
That we might set the captives free.
Now, Lord, I go before you. Silently. And just ask God to forgive you of any sins that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your mind. Especially about what's been taught here today. And especially forgive those Christians who've gone astray and who may have hurt you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command these evil spirits to leave our brothers and sisters as your names are called out. We command you to come out and bring every work, every root, memory, scarness, and habit, ruler demon, and lesser demon. We command the families to go. Now be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people right now, spirits of ignorance, false doctrines, spirits of seduction. We break the curses, we break the soul ties, we command the demons to come out. They came in through curses and soul ties. We can't command the spirit of alluring within the women to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out every spirit of carelessness, pride, immorality, taking God for granted, spiritual weakness. Come out, all spirits of unforgiveness. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Now be gone as your names are called. Come out, demons that come in through cursed objects that are on the people where they have repented. I command you to go right now. Come out, any spirits of charms and fetishes and amulets and talismans and so forth, go in Jesus' name. Come out right now. Come out. I call out the sexual demons. Come out. The sexual demons, I bind your power and I drive you out in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of homosexuality, lesbianism. Come out, every demon of eroticism. Come out, spirits of eroticism. I call you out. Come out, impure sexual feelings. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, demons that have come in where the minister kissed a person to get them delivered of sexual spirits. Come out, demons that came in through kisses by the ministers. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of sexual pressures, demonic sexual pressures within men and women. I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of loneliness. Come out right now, spirits of loneliness. And men and women that are single, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of divorce and separation, go in Jesus' name. Come out, the love of money, I call out the spirit of the love of money, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, all masculine spirits in the women and feminine spirits in the men. Come out right now, spirits of masculinity, spirits of femininity. In the opposite sexes, I command those to go in Jesus' name. Come out, every spirit of rejection, inability to give and receive love. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, spirits of tokenism in Christianity. I command you to go. We just give this a token. Come out, spirits of tokenism. Come out, every spirit of immaturity, pride, ego, and vanity, go. Come out, spiritual pride, spiritual ego, and spiritual vanity. Come out, spirits of being overweight. Go, spirits of drunkenness and smoking and gluttony. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out right now. We bind your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Now be gone. All these evil spirits, I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no choice. You will go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. Come out, every spirit of bad habits of thinking and reacting. Come out, fear of rejection, fear of men's opinions, especially in pastors, fear of men's opinions. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear of disapproval, bitterness, rebellion, stubbornness, anti-submissiveness, disobedience, fear of criticism, insecurity, timidity, inadequacy, ineptness, distrust, fantasy, spiritual fantasy, sexual fantasy, compromise, fear of failure, ego, pretense, argument, mockery, cynicism, dread, apprehension, roving, restlessness, unreality, indifference, passivity of mind, lethargy, depression, discouragement, defeatism, hopelessness, heaviness, burden, forgetfulness, rationalization, deception, discontent, fatigue, selfishness. Come out, all selfishness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hypocrisy, snug complacency, shame, sexual impurity, cult involvement, embarrassment, self-will, disgust, worry, anxiety, fear of reproof, fear of confrontation, confusion, doubt, unbelief, indecision, procrastination, pride, play-acting, frustration, hyperactivity, carelessness, heedlessness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. We bind your power and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, especially coming against those demons of charismatic witchcraft. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Rejection by Christian brothers, sisters, and pastors. Rejection of deliverance in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Rejection by husband, wife, mother, father, and children. Rejection between deliverance workers and pastors. Rejection in the room, of self and of others. Come out, all hurts and deep hurts by other Christians. Come out, spirits of touch me not, inability to give and receive love, conception and lust. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all false doctrine and hearsay. False preachers, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. Come out, all false tongues, prophecy, interpretation, demonic gifts. Come out, false religions, religious cults, Eastern religions. Come out, false love, sweetness, and sentimentality. Come out, false prosperity, love of money, think and grow rich, money by faith. Come out, false positive thinking, metaphysical faith, soulish faith. Come out, false charismatic movement, false partial gospel. Come out, false shaking, quaking, crying, putting it on a show. Come out, false cooperating discipleship. Come out, all rejection and all falseness, all false gifts. Come out, every spirit of charismatic witchcraft, witches and warlocks. Domination, control, manipulation, dictatorial. Mind control, blanking, blocking, binding, confusion. Witchcraft, occult, antichrist, familiar spirits, divination, Jezebel, Ahab, passivity, destruction of the family priesthood, lukewarmness. Come out, all commanding angels for riches, imaging, and visualization. Greed, covetousness, mammon, financial poverty of workers, pastors, churches, and camps. Come out, the spirit of poverty, I call you out in Jesus' name. Come out, a different gospel, another Jesus, apostate religion, almost fooling the very elect, spirit of error, spirit of the world, aborted spirit. Come out, all ruler demons over workers, pastors, families, churches, and camps. Soul ties and curses from control. We break those soul ties. Come out, spirits of despondency, despair, defeat, hopelessness, morbidity, strife, contention, bickering, quarreling among the brethren, inability to work with other Christians, denominational spirits, separation, infighting, spiritual pride, ego, vanity, preeminence, haughtiness, self-idolatry, we are gods, worship of man, fear of man. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out every spirit of Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism, bloodless religions, Catholicism, occult, masonry, religious demons, evil eye, third eye, Masonic eye, all seeing eye. Go in Jesus' name. Come out all Christian fantasy, falseness, false love. Play-acting, theatrics, affectation, pretension, hypocrisy, lying, deceit, deception, delusion, and compromise. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go right now. We break your power and we drive you out in Jesus' name. Be gone right now. Loose us and set us free in Jesus' name. Come out, spirits of drunkenness and gluttony. Gluttony, nervousness, compulsive eating, resentment, frustration, idleness, self-pity, self-reward, caffeine, diet pills, indulgence. Come out all drunkenness, alcohol, medications for drunkenness, desire, addiction to alcohol, bondage, slavery, fantasy, fears, flashback, and habit. Come out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your power. Come out all surfeiting, addiction to food, cravings for particular foods, I like to eat. Unreality, craving for alcohol, addiction to any kind of beverage. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. We break your power and we drive you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out, spirits of ingratitude. Ingratitude to God, thanklessness, punishment, cover up lies, fear of failure, futility, stupid speculations, lack of knowledge, sexual impurity, incest, unrighteousness, covetousness, envy, dishonor of God, hatred towards God, discontent, cringing fear, dishonor of self, foolish reasoning, senseless minds, lack of wisdom, homosexuality, lesbianism, iniquity, grasping greed, jealousy, rejection of God and His dealings with you, lying to self, ineptness, dishonor of others, vain, godless imaginings, foolishness, idolatry, indecency, loathsomeness, guilt, malice, murder. Come out, every spirit of hate, vengeance, envy, and strife among the brethren. Come out, all spirits of rejection, bitterness, and rebellion, those three common demon families. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come out, the family of selfishness and Ahab and Jezebel spirits. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Now line up in rank and file in order and come out quickly. Okay, praise the Lord. Looks like we made it on time, in good time. Everybody okay? If you need any help, raise your hand. Okay, looks like everybody is okay. Okay, you want me to say a blessing for the faith? Okay, Father, we just thank you for what you have done here today. I thank you, Lord, for the lesson, Lord, and for all of us participating, and you bringing your word through all four of us, Lord. Now, Lord, I thank you for this food. We just ask you to bless, purify, and cleanse it. We break all curses on it. Eat it with thanksgiving for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.